In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to talk to you a little bit this morning, or maybe a lot, we'll see, about the gospel that we just heard from the gospel according to Luke. And immediately as I read it, I thought to myself, I think sometimes many Christians, myself included, from time to time, have a pretty low bar. Because we think to ourselves, and I've talked to people, well, I'm a good person. I go to church. And we figure that should be enough. And it's really not enough. Now, when someone like me stands here and says that, everybody in the room goes, okay, he just wants us to come to church more. Look, that's between you and Jesus, wherever he may be. Oh. So I would say this, the reality is this. There's so much more to it, brothers and sisters, and I think sometimes we are just struggling. And so Jesus, as he's speaking today, is being pretty clear. He's speaking with his disciples, and he says in verse 32 of chapter 12, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That doesn't sound like a lot until we think about our journey and how often we find ourselves afraid to actually live out our journey and whether we're going to do it right or whether it's okay or whether we have the authority to do so or whether, I don't know, somebody might see us do it. Even worse, right? And what does he say? For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's giving us the kingdom. You're not earning the kingdom. He's giving it to you. Now, there's a few other things that'll come up that might reflect what that could look like. But for the moment, let's just hang on to this reality. We have been given the kingdom of God through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross knowing full well, just like we heard, we can get our pencils out again. We're called to continue to walk in this. Little secret. You're going to do it wrong. You're going to make the mistake. And you probably have the broken pencil with no eraser. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus has already given you the kingdom, his very body and blood, brothers and sisters, his going to the cross for all of that which we are not, all of our sinfulness, brokenness, our fears, our concerns, all the things that are not what he intended for us in our creation. He erases those by his grace. He's giving us the kingdom. And we have to ask ourselves, well, what does that even look like? And is that something I even want? And then we have to ask ourselves, well, if it is indeed true, and spoiler alert, it is, that this God has given us the kingdom through the body and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, I don't know how this works for you, but for me, that became a little bit overwhelming at some point. And I thought, why would he do that for me? I mean, I know me. I'm not sure I would do anything for me. And certainly not something at that level. But it's true. And we have to begin to walk in it. And as I thought about my walk, I was reminded of a man, his name was Ben Johnson. Not yours. And I know I've told this story before, and then as I said earlier, my homiletics professor said, if it was worth telling once, it's worth telling again. And I was going to Bible study. I was late 20s, early 30s, just kind of back to church, a young man with children. And I was showing up. I was going to church, and now they had convinced me I should go to a Bible study. So I went to the Bible study, and this man stopped me after the Bible study. He goes, Brian, how's it working out for you? What do you think of the study? I said, it doesn't seem to work well for me at all. I'm really not into it. Well, I guess you'll get out of it what you put into it. And he got in his car and drove away. I clearly have not forgotten that. and I'm clearly way past my early 30s. But he was so right. See, Jesus is not only, he has given us the kingdom and invited us to live a kingdom life. And we will get out of it what we put into it, brothers and sisters. If we want our faith to just be something we practice for an hour or hour and a half, you go to 10:30, hour 15, if you're 8 o'clock at Holy Innocents. If you're looking for the 58-minute church, got the wrong priest, sorry. And people do complain, I know, and you can do so if you wish. Where's Dan? Is he here? I think he was at the early service. Find your senior warden. But honestly, my response often is, if you don't have an hour and a half for Jesus on a Sunday morning, good luck in the kingdom. It becomes a question of priorities. What's our priority? Well, Jesus has something to say about that. He tells us we should make purses for ourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That which matters to us most is where we will place all of our efforts. Those things which we struggle with and within the world can become our first priority. And when anything other than Jesus is your first priority, you will continue to struggle to live into the kingdom life that has been given to you through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's a struggle. And we all know it's a struggle. And it's a struggle for a reason, brothers and sisters. And Scripture will prove this out, and you can go study it and come back to me if you'd like. The reality is this. Jesus is not reigning in this world. We may think he is, but he is not. This is still God's creation. God is still in control. But at the moment, he is not reigning. He will reign when he comes. When his kingdom comes, his will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Familiar, right? But that's not now. Where he reigns is in the heart of those who love him. And we are invited to this kingdom which has been given to us because we love him, because he loved us first. And we have the opportunity to live it. But we live in a world where he is not reigning. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Let's be honest, evil tends to reign in this world. The quieter the people are, the which have God in their heart, the more evil will reign. The more we stand together and know for sure that we belong, that this kingdom has been given to us, and we are going to be called and have been called with Christ to invite others into it as we await for him to bring it to fruition, then the world is, what do we like to say here? Transformed. And we can see it happen. Will it be completely transformed? Not until Jesus comes. But he has more to say here in a little bit that says maybe we should be on that track of paying attention. I have to tell myself for years, don't say track here. But the reality is this. We have been given this. The kingdom has been given to us. But we still walk in this place. And we need to struggle with our priorities, which Jesus says this way, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you're struggling with whether or not I should get to church or not go to church, should I do this or not do that? Because you're looking at all the other things, you say, well, I know I could go to church, but I haven't had the boat out in a while. It's sitting in the yard, grass growing up under it. Haven't pulled out my golf clubs, they're dusty. Or if you've been to my house, you know what you're going to find in my garage. Bikes. I keep walking by the bike seeing if there's still air in the tires. Because God's just had us a little busy for the kingdom lately. He's like, you can ride later, but you'll do the kingdom work now, amen? And he'll make time for me, I know he will, because he always does. Because when I get my priorities right, when Jesus is number one, everything else falls into place. Now, it doesn't mean I don't have temptations. Things still happen. Do not get me wrong. I get up on many Sunday mornings, especially this morning, to be honest, and I'm walking by that bike thinking, I'd rather be riding that bike right now. And then it's little temptations, right? But where your heart is where your treasure is. That which you value most is what you will follow. And the temptations sneak in. Susan and I have been talking, it's like, we got to get back on track with our diet. You know, we got to eat better, you know, the whole routine. I don't know what year that kicked in for us, but you got to start paying attention. What you eat tends to affect your body. What affects your body affects your energy, affects all the rest. It's like exercise. I should go exercise. It's like, or not. There's times I'm thinking, even when we are exercising, riding, I'm thinking, is it going to rain? Maybe it'll rain, then I won't have to go exercise. So yesterday we're having this conversation. We're literally having a conversation in the truck while we were leaving here. And we're going to the grocery store. We're going to make sure we're back on track, making sure we're eating all the things we're supposed to. Walk into Publix. And the first thing I see is a display with buy one, get one free chili cheese Fritos. Now, if you know me, I promise you, that display was not from God. Now, there's nothing inherently evil about chili cheese Fritos, unless you're me. And we come walking by, I'm like, oh, seriously, we're here to buy boneless, skinless chicken and salad, seriously. And then you think you're going to be okay in it, you're nope. And then the one person who's walking by my side all the time, my helper, she looks at me and she goes, do you want to get some? Yes. Yes, I do. But no, we're not. We're not going to get them. But yeah, I want them with my whole heart. I'm ready to put my treasure into those chili cheese Fritos. And I promise you, I would have eaten them, all of them, quickly. But the reality is, there she was, my helper, seriously just got out of the truck. You want to get them? Yes, I want to get them. No, we're not getting them. I just laughed. I'm like, no. And you just kind of, and you move away from it. But how often in our lives do we find that one person that we know is going to convince us that the thing that we want so much, that we want to pour our whole heart into, that we know isn't necessarily what God's calling us to do, how often will we turn to them and justify turning away from God? It's a struggle. But he's saying, his good pleasure is to give you the kingdom. And the kingdom doesn't look like this world. In fact, he says, be dressed for action in verse 35. Have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Be dressed for action. Now, that had everything to do with the way in which they dressed in those days. Under here, I wear a long white robe. I'm technically dressed for action because I have this cincture tied around my waist. If I was here for leisure in the time in which they would have dressed in longer robes, they wouldn't have their cincture on. They'd be relaxed, loose clothes, ready for action, so you can walk and move. They just don't make them short enough for me to really walk and move. Ready for action, he says. And what difference is that going to make, and how do we do that? And I'd say this, it varies how we do it and when we do it. The question is, will we do it? What's the action? Well, I don't know. We have to be ready and paying attention. But we have to be ready so because we do not know when the boss is coming. I used to be the boss, ran a business, and I can't tell you how many times I come around the corner. I still get accused of it here with staff. God, you walk so quietly, I don't know when you're coming. Well, that's practiced, honestly. We had a production area in our business, and I'd come walking back into the production area, and all of a sudden people are like, whoop, grab the broom. I should have trained them to just hold the broom, and then when I come in, it automatically looks like you're doing something. But how often do you see people doing that? It's like, well, and they thought they got away with it. Here's the reality. If we are not dressed for action, if we are not living into the kingdom that has been given to us by the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and when Jesus comes, he's going to know. There's no, I'm going to grab a hold of it now. You know, you're going to get a hold of that Bible that you haven't opened up, and then he's going to look at it and go, huh, why are the pages still all stuck together? I think that's why they put the gilding on the Bible pages, because you see if somebody actually reads it. I've picked up Bibles that are older than I am and went like this, and it goes, decades. Somebody's owned it for decades. Nobody ever opened it. And they're usually brought here by somebody. I just couldn't bring myself to throw it away. And I'm like, or open it. See, we're supposed to be ready. We can't be ready if we can't even open our Bibles. Amen? We need to be ready. Jesus is telling us to be ready. This isn't just somebody leading the church saying, hey, you should try this out. This is Jesus himself looking at his people. He said, do not be afraid. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's given it to us through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself is saying, be ready. Where your treasure is, there's your heart will be there also. The things in which you do and the things in which you spend your time, your effort, and your treasure, that is where your heart will follow. And then you have to ask yourself, where do you want your heart to be? And why? And sometimes it's difficult because we don't know what to do. And we are actually fearful more often than not. But this being ready for action. He's talking about Christ-centered actions. Interesting thing about doing the work that God's called us to do. There are many days we don't want to do it. Those are days we need to do it. See, Christ-centered actions create a Christ-centered heart. And subsequently, a Christ-centered heart creates Christ-centered actions. And it just depends on where our heart is in the moment as to which way we're approaching it. Sometimes our heart is so full we're just in action and the glory of God is present. Sometimes we're struggling to know Christ and we're struggling to walk with him, and that's when we need to walk with him. I don't need to readdress my diet because I'm in spectacular shape. It's because I'm becoming a spectacular shape. It's when we need it that we have to do it. And we're like, well, I wasn't really feeling up to it. When I get up in the morning, don't feel up to doing God's will, you can bet I better get on it. Now, I don't have a lot of choices. He's funny like that. So I can show up thinking I'm just going to have an easy day, kind of fly under the radar. I know better. That is when he's going to drop the biggest struggle right in my lap. Usually belongs to somebody else. He said, you will take care of this. And here's the amazing thing. Every single time I have been hesitant to do what I know God is asking me to do, and I didn't really want to do it, every single time that I've done it, I've received just an incredible blessing. Every time I decided I didn't have time for it and I had to do it anyway, I'm thinking I need 3 hours to write this or prepare this, and this person shows up can I talk to you for a minute? Now, when somebody says, can I talk to you for a minute? That's 15, 20 minutes. Somebody says, do you have 5 minutes? That's an hour, hour and a half. That's just math. That's the ordained clergy math, I guess. And you often are sitting there and you have to fight away the fact that you know there's this huge task that you have, and you just surrender to the reality, you're just working tonight. Because this is what God wants me to have time for. But here's the thing, every time I have been obedient in that situation, which is more often than not, on the other side of it, I sit down in preparation, I'm going to spend the next 3 hours doing something, and it's done in an hour. Now, I can't explain that, other than the fact that it's God. So he's calling us to it, he's equipping us for it, and he is providing everything necessary for it to happen, which I think is one of the reasons he says, do not be afraid, little flock. He's giving you the kingdom. He's given us the kingdom. He said, blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. We're called to serve God. Jesus is making it very clear. I'm coming back. It will be in your best interest that I catch you serving. Not because you're afraid of getting caught like my employees, but because you recognize how deeply God has loved you. And by his good pleasure, you have been given the kingdom. And it's okay to respond to that overpowering understanding of the unconditional love of God. It is okay. The world will think you're a fool. So what? They thought Jesus was a fool. But we know better, don't we? So we can sit, and I know people who have done it, decades, and I mean decades, sat in pews like these, because it was what you're supposed to do. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is living into the fullness of the kingdom which you have been given, to the level in which your life is transformed, so that you then move out of your own transformation so that the world may be transformed around you because of God working through you. See, there's so much more to it. And it's available to you, I promise. But sometimes we have to look at where our treasure is and where our heart is. And I promise you, and dare you to prove me wrong, you focus your heart on Christ, and you will never regret it. And you will look at people that you see pouring their lives into the mission and ministry of the church, that you look at and say, I'm not getting near that. As soon as I get near it, the church is going to do that to me. But I'll promise you, if you come near them, what you're going to find is people serving with joy, not in perfection. And not with days where they don't struggle to do it. But they know at a much deeper level that their lives have been transformed by Jesus Christ. And out of that gratitude, they serve. And their lives continue to be changed. But I've seen people sit in a pew. I have met people in their mid-late 70s that through a Curcio weekend have come to me after the weekend and said, I had no idea. I wasted all this time not truly knowing Christ. And I feel like I've wasted all my time. And I promise you have not. It is never too late. That's why I can't sing the song Amazing Grace without choking up. Because like many people, I thought I waited too long to come to know the reality of a relationship with Jesus. It's there. But you've got to decide what matters most. It is either him or it's the world. But it can't be both. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. Verse 40, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. I know a lot of people want to know Jesus, want to be with him in eternity. But I also know a lot that will profess that, and ignore the reality in this life. I'm baptized, I'm good. Are you? May or may not be true, but he promises you a life abundant, and he means this one and the next. So why would you turn from it? So brothers and sisters, I would say to you, if Christ returned today, or maybe more so tomorrow, would you be ready to stand before him? Or are you going to be reaching for the broom? Amen.